Good morning. Please rise as you are able for our call to worship today. In the beginning, God created all things, and God saw that they were good. At our beginning, God created us, unique and irreplaceable, loved and wanted by God, known and treasured by God even before He created us. Lord God, King of creation, open our eyes to see your presence, our souls to sense your presence, and our hearts to love your presence, ever here in your creation and ever beyond it in eternity. Amen.
Well, good morning. So great to be with you in worship today. It was a beautiful morning this morning. It's going to be a great day, and we are so glad that you are here to worship with us. If you're worshiping with us online, we're delighted that you've joined us. Please catch the pop-up box so we know that you're worshiping with us. And on each row, you will find our attendance pad. If you would fill that out, tear it out, you can drop it in the offering plate and then pass it on to your neighbor so they might fill it out as well. We are so glad that you're here to worship, and if you're a guest, we're especially blessed that you are here. And if this is your first time with us, we'd ask that you'd stop by our hospitality center if you've not already done it, so we can give you a gift. We've got a gift, and we'd like to put it in your hands. So have a few announcements I'd like to lift up, but first I just want to say thanks for everybody that helped and participated with the golf tournament yesterday. We raised a bunch of money for some of our local charities, and it was great fun. It was hot and it was humid, but hey, it's Houston, right? That's where we live. So we had a great time, and thanks to everybody who helped put that on. It was a lot of fun, and we'll get back to you when we know exactly how much we've raised for the charities in our area. And today at 2 o'clock, Edward is presenting a piano recital. You are all invited to come and be a part of that. It's a free event, so just come and support Edward and listen to some beautiful piano music. So we got Parents Night Out. It's coming up on May the 5th. It's from 6 to 9. You'll find some more information about it in the bulletin, but we have one correction. We are offering childcare for children ages 0 to 3. So if you've got a little one and a little bit older one, you can bring them both, and it'll be a lot of fun. So come and be a part of that. It's a night for you parents to ditch your kids and go have some fun, right? So VBS registration is open. If you've got a child or a grandchild you'd like to register for VBS, now's the time. We've already got over 100 children already registered, so we're excited about that. And VBS is always a big deal around here. Just know that soon I'm going to be coming to you and asking for your help with VBS, because we're going to need your help. Next Sunday, we're hosting a lunch with the pastor, so if you're new to the church, and want to learn about joining or kind of what the expectations of church members are, you're invited to come and be a part of that. If you have some interest and ability to come, just email me or call me, and we'll get you on the list. We just want to make sure we have enough food for everyone. And so come and be a part of that. We're starting a new study and sermon series today. It's our Woe series, and there's no dude attached to the Woe. It's just Wesleyan Orthodoxy Explained. This is the study book. If you've signed up for the class, you can pick up this study book. It'll take care of the whole 6 weeks that we're meeting. Leanne has put this together and done a fabulous job with it. And so if you would like to come on Wednesday, you can let us know. Just register. We're putting together, hopefully, a Zoom class for folks. So if you can't make it on Wednesdays, if you just can't make it, we're going to put together a group that gets together on Zoom at a different time. We don't know what that time is yet, but so that class would have their small group meeting some other time other than Wednesday via Zoom. So if you have some interest in doing that, reach out to myself or Leanne, and we can put that together for you. So what a great day it is to be with you in worship. We're so glad that you are here. I invite you now to stand and greet each other and offer the peace of Christ to one another.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to gather here today to share in your beautiful creation with one another. We thank you for the wonderful golf tournament yesterday, for all the fun that it was, and for all the glory that it will bring you through the help that those charities will receive, and all of the people that will be helped and loved by those funds that were raised. We just thank you for the opportunity to do that, to give of our talent and our time and our treasure. We pray this morning and lift up those in our congregation who are in need of healing, those in need of physical healing, that you would work in their bodies, that you would work through the hands of the doctors who care for them, that you would work through the medicine that has been created in order to restore their health, and ask that you would bring them comfort and their families comfort. We lift up those who are in need of spiritual healing, those who are experiencing grief, those who struggle with anxiety or depression or loneliness, those who are tormented, God, we ask that you would be among them and that you would send your Holy Spirit to comfort them and bring them peace. Lord, we just lift up our world to you, and we just continue to be appalled at the violence that we see. And we lift up today all of the victims and their families of the shootings this last week. And we pray, God, that you would give us the wisdom and the courage to know how we could help in these situations. We ask that you would always hear our prayers. God, just heal our broken world. Help each of us to be your light and to bring your love and mercy to every corner of the world. Only by more of you in this world can light shine into the darkness behind these tragedies. So God, equip us to be that light. Here in this place, send to us the people who need you so that we may share with them your love and your grace. We pray all this in the name of our Savior, who taught us the words to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Woo! That was awesome. Please stand as we affirm our faith together, and just remind you, we are still reciting the Nicene Creed. We'll do that through the end of this sermon series, and then we'll go back to the Apostles' Creed that you all worked so hard to memorize. Let us now affirm our faith together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Well, like Mike said, it was kind of hot at the golf tournament yesterday, but we did have a lot of fun. And after this kind of back and forth, hot and cold, ooh, you okay, baby? I was kind of excited to see the sun. And it's going to just get warmer, we know. And so I know some of you complain sometimes that it's just way too cold in here. But just wait till June if we don't have those air conditioners running nice and good. So as we come to our time of offering, it's a chance for us to respond to God and all that God has given us and to share back a little bit of our treasure, jokingly for the air conditioners, but also for the amazing ministries that we're able to do through this congregation to bring glory to Him and to help those in our community. Let us pray. Dear God, we come to you today so grateful for all the blessings in our life. For we know that they all come from you. We return to you a portion of that which is already yours, and we know, God, that it will be blessed and that it will be sent and that it will change lives of people in our community. And we are so grateful that we are able to participate in that. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Y'all be sure and come at 2 o'clock this afternoon for more of that. So that was awesome. Thanks, Edward. Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So we're beginning our new sermon series, Woe, Wesleyan Orthodoxy Explained. And over the next 6 weeks, we will look at the basic tenets of our faith. I will be asking you to use your head, to strain your brain, as we talk about the things that we believe and why we believe them. I get it. This is some heady stuff. You know, I work really hard on Sunday mornings to preach about where the gospel rubs up against our life and how we as Christians can apply that to our life. But the next 6 weeks, I'm going to invite you to come on this journey that looks at the basic tenets of our faith and what we believe and why we believe them. You know, for a season in the life of the church, we are your spiritual leaders, your guides, your shepherds, if you will. And I believe that since we as a church have made a decision that we are choosing a traditional interpretation of our faith, that we need to be able to talk about what we believe and why we believe it. And so I invite you to come on this journey with us. I hope that you will come and be a part of the Bible study on Wednesdays. I really can't talk about God the Father enough in a sermon to really develop all the understandings. And so that's why we're offering this Bible study on Wednesdays and hope that you will come and be a part of that. So I want to read to you something that I wrote 19 years ago because you have a basic understanding of God. You have this in your head. You have your own idea as to who God is and sort of how God functions. And as we move forward in this endeavor to understand what we believe and why we believe it, what you think of God at its most basic level is going to affect how you interpret and understand everything else. And so 19 years ago, I was taking a class in seminary called Systematics, and I had to write a credo, which is everything that I believe about the Christian faith. And during this sermon series, by the way, I will lay a few $5 seminary words on you from time to time. And so the first $5 seminary word is prolegomena. It's a fancy word that just means sort of the stuff that comes before the real stuff. Sort of the introduction, right? And so this is the prolegomena of my credo. Before leaping headlong into the official prolegomena section, I should first make clear an understanding of God and God's work that underpins my every thought about God. It is my understanding that no matter how bright or broad the light is that we cast by the musings of any theologians, we can only see a fraction of how God works in this universe. from Justin Martyr to Pope John Paul II, any light that is thrown on the mystery of God allows us to see only a little way into the workings of God. Further, that in the end, despite our best efforts, when we are face to face with God, we will be surprised at just how little we actually understood while we walked on this earth. The book of Job expresses this idea in a far more beautiful way than I ever could. This is Job 26, verses 8 through 14. He wraps up the waters in his clouds, and the cloud does not burst under them. He obscures the face of the full moon and spreads his cloud over it. He has inscribed a circle on the surface of the waters at the boundary of light and darkness. The pillars of heaven tremble and are amazed at his rebuke. He quieted the sea with his power, and by his understanding he shattered Rahab. By his breath the heavens are cleared. His hands has pierced the fleeing serpent. Behold, these are the fringes of his ways. And how faint a word we hear of him. But his mighty thunder, who can understand? This is my basic understanding of God, that no matter how much we think about it, no matter how much we talk about it, we will always come up short. Let me tell you what God is not. God is not an old white guy with a beard floating around in the clouds or sitting on a throne. We get that picture of God, we maybe even shows up in some of our children's Bibles, but that is not God. In fact, God is really not a he, nor is God a she. God is God, and God transcends any gender. And let me remind you what we're trying to do when we're talking about God. We are trying to describe the indescribable, a God who is so big that we really can't even grasp what God is. And let me point out, we're using words, human words that we made up to try to describe God. It's an impossible task. I mean, it's worth doing, it's worth trying. You are talking about the God who created the universe, who spoke things into existence. We will always fall short of accurately describing or fully understanding God. Period. And I have to tell you, I love that I serve a God that I don't understand, that I can't fully grasp. I love a God that works in mysterious ways. So our text today comes from, well, you guessed it, the book of Genesis, the beginning. So we are at the sixth day of creation, Genesis 1, 24 through 31. Hear these words. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind and the cattle of every kind and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the wild animals of the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth. And every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. This is the word of God for the people of God. So here we are on the sixth day of creation, and God speaks into existence creatures. I want you to notice that we are included in the creation of creatures. We are a creature of God's creation, but we're a special creature. We are a special creature because we have been created in the image of God. We are a special creature because God has given us free will. God has given us free will, and we can choose to love God, or we can choose to deny his existence. We have been given that gift of free will. There's a lot of discussion, scholarly discussion, around verse 26, where God says, "Let us make humankind." Who is the us, is the question. Well, I confess to you that I'm sort of a History Channel buff and kind of watch some of the other things that are on there. And so if you watch those dudes who are like alien theorists, they jump all over this. Because it's the aliens that made us, that created us. There's a lot of discussion about who is us. There is some discussion and thought that it is sort of the whole court, the whole royal court that is present, the angels that were nearby. Or there's the possibility that he is using the concept of the royal we. In history, we have seen times where monarchs, rulers, will make rulings and say, "we," when it's really just him or her that are making the rulings. Or another option is that God was speaking to the whole of the triune God, of the Trinity. It's really not clear who the us is. I kind of tend to believe that it's the Trinity. That it's the three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us make humankind. But what does it mean to have been made in the image of God? I mean, do I look like God? I mean, does God talk with a Texas accent? I mean, what does it mean to be made in the image of God? I don't think we look like him. I'm pretty sure he doesn't speak with a Texas accent. My understanding of that is that we have been made to be in community with God and with one another. And I look at this, and I look at the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They live in perfect community with one another, dependent on each other. And I think that's what it means for us to have been made in the image of God, that we are meant to be in community with one another, and more importantly, with God. And then we look at some of the classical traits of God, right? There's all the omnis, omnipresent, omniscient. What's the other one? Omnipotent, right? And then he is immutable and impassible. Well, let's think a second about what it means for God to be omnipresent. It means that God is present in the past, the present, and the future, all at the same time. What it means is that God is beyond the concept of time. I mean, we as humans, we live a really linear life. We look at things in a really linear way. We're born, we live, we die, we go to heaven. I mean, that's how we see it. But when we make the claim that God is omnipresent, it really is making a statement that God is beyond the concept of time. And then there's these sort of classical beliefs that God is immutable and impassible. Immutable means that God doesn't change. I think that's ridiculous. God is God. If God wants to change, he can change. Just because we have little rules doesn't mean God's going to adhere to them. But I do think that God's nature is grace and love and kindness and mercy, and I don't think his nature is going to change. I just want to remind you, God is God, and God can do whatever the heck God wants to do. And then there's this idea that God is impassible. That's where I really jump off this classical bandwagon of the traits, the attributes of God. That is basically making a claim that God feels no emotion from the things that we do in our life. And I have to tell you, the God that I believe, the God that I follow, he cries when we cry. He celebrates when we celebrate. And I'm sure he hangs his head and shakes his head in wonder at some of the things that we do. But my God is a God that loves us and celebrates with us and cries with us. He weeps when we weep, and he is joyous when we are joyful. And lest you think I'm just making this up, I want to remind you about Jesus in the Gospel of John. Lazarus has been sick, and his sisters had said, "Hey, Jesus, you better hurry home. Lazarus is sick." Well, Jesus didn't hurry home, and Lazarus died. Jesus comes walking up, and his sisters, Lazarus's sisters, are in tears. They're mourning. There are people that are gathered, and they're crushed because Lazarus has died. And Scripture says Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the Bible. You can now quote Scripture. Jesus wept. Jesus cried. Jesus didn't cry because Lazarus was dead. Jesus was crying because he saw and experienced the pain of those that loved Lazarus that thought they had lost him. Jesus knew exactly what he was going to do. He knew he was going to walk into that tomb and go, "Hey, Lazarus, get up, live." And he knew exactly what was going to happen. Jesus cried because he experienced the loss that we experience. Jesus is a part of the Godhead. That wasn't some separate piece of him that was crying. It was the Son of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that was crying because he felt our pain. God is God, and God can do whatever he chooses. And I believe that God chooses to feel our pain and our joy, to celebrate with us. You know, we also think of God as love. God is love. He is a God of love and grace and mercy. But if that's all that God is, I think we have a small God. Because the truth of it is, our God is also a God of judgment. There is a time in which we will stand before God and we will be judged. And let me remind you that without judgment, there can be no mercy. Without down, there can't be up. And so it is so that without judgment, there can be no mercy. Our God is a big God, and He is many things. Love is the most important one, I believe. It's the one that makes us feel warm and fuzzy, but there is a time of judgment, and we can look at Scripture to see that it is coming. Remember the parables of the wheat and the tares? Remember the parable of the sheep and the goats, in which there are separated the righteous from the unrighteous? There is no mercy without judgment. But we have an intercessor, Jesus the Son, stands there in our place as we come to judgment day because we are followers of Jesus Christ. We are forgiven. Our sins are gone, blotted as far as from the east is from the west, because we have this arbiter, Jesus Christ, this advocate that is advocating for us because we have believed and followed in Him. So while God also will pass judgment, we will receive mercy because of the work of Jesus. And we'll talk some more about this in future weeks. But our God is a big God. Our God loves you in ways that you cannot even begin to imagine. Our God loves you so much, and He longs to have a relationship with you. So this week, I want you to spend some time with God. Spend some time telling Him that you love Him and you are grateful that He is a God of mercy and a God of love. Your God created you. Your every breath is a gift from God. And He loves you. God, how He loves you. More than you can imagine. He wants to be in relationship with you. That's why He created you. Let us pray. Oh, gracious and holy God, that You created us is a mystery. It is one we are so grateful for. Your love for us is so deep and so wide, we really cannot fathom it. And yet, this gift of grace and mercy that You have given to us that is so undeserved, oh, we say yes. Yes to that gift of love and grace and mercy. Father, we know that we can never be worthy of that gift. But do help us to be better followers of Jesus each and every day. Help us to be more Christ-like in all that we do. Help us to be a beacon of Your love and Your grace in this world for people to experience through us. Father, make us bold to share the good news that Jesus is Lord, that salvation flows through Him, that He is the living water, and He gives us eternal life. God, we so long to be in relationship with You. Help us to do that. Help us to have a better walk with you. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. I invite our acolytes to come forward, please. So the symbolism here is that they carry the light of Christ into our sanctuary. They light these candles so that we are reminded of the presence of Christ. And then they light them and carry them out into the world. And that's you. You're the light of Christ that's going out into the world to be a beacon of love and grace for the world to see. Your God created you, and you are His treasure. He loves you. He wants to be in relationship with you. You're a follower of His Son, Jesus the Christ. So go forth from this place, and you be the light unto the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.